This is Fresh Air. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead has a review of a 1965 live recording by the late pianist Earl Hines. Hines first attracted national attention in 1928 at the age of 23 when he recorded with Louis Armstrong. Later, Hines led big bands and hired early beboppers like Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. By the late 50s, though, Hines' popularity had temporarily waned. But Kevin says this new album proves that Hines never lost his fire.
So often, record companies unwittingly conspire to make you think about a specific period in a jazz artist's life. In the last few months, we've been treated to three albums from the final phase of pianist Earl Hines' career, albums that demonstrate his continued vitality as he approached age 60. RCA reissued a spirited 1964 session, Up to Date. New World compiled a selection of excellent 70s solos as Earl Hines plays Duke Ellington. And Columbia has put out a splendid trio and quartet set from 1965, live at the Village Vanguard. The quartet sides feature saxophonist Bud Johnson, who worked with Hines off and on for 40 years. On this album, Johnson plays gruff tenor and a brightly blaring soprano sax. Virtually all of the key elements of Earl Hines' mature piano style were in place by 1928, but even four decades later, he was full of surprises. When he was forming his style back in Pittsburgh around 1920, Hines got his left-hand strategies from one local pianist and the right-hand melodic stuff from another. That may help explain why his playing so often sounds like a quizzical dialogue between two musical sensibilities. His scrambling left-hand bass lines pointed the way for bop pianists like Bud Powell and Thelonious Monk. But even in the 1960s, Hines' springy right-hand work echoed older styles like stride and boogie-woogie. With each hand following a different muse, he seemed to look forward and backward at the same time. Here's Earl Hines on Lover Come Back to Me. The only concession to changing fashion Earl Hines made after the early 1930s was to modernize his sense of rhythm, taking his cue from fleetly swinging Kansas City bands like Count Basie's. Hines' bassist on the Vanguard set, in fact, is Kansas City great Gene Ramey. The drummer is Eddie Locke. A highlight of the new live set is a remake of Hines' Cavernism, which he'd recorded in 1934, not long after saxophonist Bud Johnson first joined his band. Here's a taste of the 1934 Cavernism. We'll be right back. listen to the same section of the streamlined Village Vanguard version 31 years later. Hines had been written off as a has-been by 1960, but by 1965, he was working his way back into the public ear, thanks to live dates, new records, and a couple of appreciative critics. Still, it's a sign of record industry ambivalence toward Hines in the mid-60s that these live recordings have only now been issued for the first time. Better late than never. Earl Hines live at the Village Vanguard may sound corny to some, but to my ears, it wears as well as any new release this year.
Kevin Whitehead is a regular contributor to Downbeat and Cadence. He reviewed Earl Hines live at the Village Vanguard on the Columbia label. This is Fresh Air.